Now, talking of clever people, you've lined up a guest that we're going to talk to in a couple of minutes' time. This is a local choir which have brought out a brand new CD.
They have, yeah. So this is the group De Profundis. And actually, I first heard them in concert the first week I moved to Cambridge because a friend, a new acquaintance I had just sort of met who was at Pembroke said, oh, I'm going to this concert this evening. Do you want to come? And so I went and heard them singing in Jesus College Chapel. And they're a male voice choir who specialise in singing Renaissance polyphony. And it's just so happens that I actually lined up an interview with Mark Dourish, who set up the choir and is the musical director or musical coordinator. I think that's a technical term. I'd actually set up an interview with him the week that everything stopped. And so that interview got pushed back and then he actually got COVID. So he obviously wouldn't have been able to come in anyway. And I just thought actually it'd be really nice to get him on the show now things are back to a new kind of normal.
Absolutely. Well, he's coming up. First, though, we have a track, I think, from the CD, The Agnus Dei. Brilliant. So that was an Agnus Dei, and actually, I feel really woeful because it's by a composer I don't know, Anna Lapwood.
Yeah, so this is the composer Esquivel, and he's probably one of the most important Spanish Renaissance composers.
I really should know who he is then.
It's fine. This music hasn't been recorded that much, and I think it does suit this group really, really, really well.
Yeah, don't judge me, Mark Dourish, that I didn't know who Esquivel was. Overlook that. Anna Lapwood's here.
Very few people do.
Well, then it's very good that you've got this new CD. So Mark Dourish is the artistic director of De Profundis, this beautiful male voice choir. And for people who don't know, though, to be honest, if they're tuned into classical Cambridgeshire light, they may well know all about it. But talk us through why it's kind of important that your choir is made up in the way it is to sing the music it sings.
Basically because, I mean, we limit ourselves really to Renaissance sacred music from the continent. We don't do English music for reasons I might explain later. But the reason we stick to continental is because we can do it the way that it was done. It was a very particular kind of sound, much lower than what we're used to now. No women on the top line. The countertenors, male altos, were singing the top line, then high tenors, then baritones, then really quite sepulchral, quite low basses. So the whole sound world shifts downwards by sort of four or five steps. And that has several effects. It makes a much darker, much richer, for want of a better term, much more manly sound. But also it means that your ear isn't automatically drawn to the top line as it would be in, say, King's or John's. It's very difficult to listen to that without listening to the top line as the tune. And we're not doing that at all. It's much more a group of four, five, six equal parts. And so it's much more polyphonic, just it's many voices. It's all everyone having an equal contribution to make.
And while I haven't heard of Esquivel, I do know that there's plenty of beautiful Renaissance sacred music out there. I mean, Anna, lots of it is performed regularly in Cambridge when we're not in lockdown, because, of course, a lot of the college choirs will be singing either kind of authentically like this or not with women.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And actually, I think one of the things I really loved about this recording, going back to what Mark was saying about not having those trebles on the top or sopranos on the top, is this idea of equality. And I think the countertenors that they have in that group, I said this the other day as well, the countertenors they have in that group are just extraordinary, because they sit so smoothly on the top and don't draw any attention to themselves. And occasionally, if you have lots of countertenors together, it can grate a little bit, but that never happens in this recording. I love countertenors dearly, I should say that. They're wonderful people, I love them to bits, but there is something
about countertenors' voices. I mean, they're kind of designed to stand out. There's one of the best things about them, but you're right, if you get a lot of countertenors, it could easily overpower, I suppose.
It's like, I think Mozart said, what's worse than one flute? And it's a lot of flutes.
So who makes up your choir, Mark? Who are in the ranks of the singers?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to say what the membership is from the point of view that I choose singers for individual projects. So it's not a set lineup. Also, it depends on people's availability. You know, these are people who don't do a lot of singing in other groups, who do a lot of professional singing. And so each project, each CD and each concert that we do, the choir reforms. So there's a lot of work that I put in getting enough singers and getting the right singers for particular repertoires, particular pieces that we do. But yes, I mean, you're right. I've got a sheet of paper in my pocket of all the people that I have worked with before, or people that have been recommended to me as possible future singers. And so, you know, there's a large number of people who are associated with De Profundis, but you couldn't really say this is the lineup of De Profundis.
And when it comes to picking the repertoire out, I suppose somebody listening to this who thinks, well, you're performing this Renaissance sacred music, that's a narrow range, you know, picking the pieces might not be that difficult. I imagine it is, that there's a lot of it.
There is just so much. The amazing thing is the depth, not just the quality, but the depth of the quality. Even if I was just to limit myself to Spain, never mind Italy or the Low Countries, it's a staggering amount of music that's been written. I was just reading up a little thing in the last week or so, which listed 35 chapel masters and composers who were writing during the reign of Philip II. You know, that's 35. It would be quite difficult to come up with 35 composers of the English repertoire. And you know, again, that's not an exclusive list. So it's just never ending the range of music that you could draw upon.
Tell us about the CD then. We've obviously heard one track from it.
Yes. So it's a CD, as Anna probably said, it's I think it's the first CD that's been dedicated to just Esquivel's music, of which there was a lot. And it's a CD, it's a programme that was brought to us by Bruno Turner, who really is the doyen of Spanish Renaissance musicologists, people who study this music. And he just came and said, I've got this idea for a CD. You'd have half the programme being setting of a mass, the other half being music for Vespers and Compline. And that's basically how it's worked out. The first half of the CD is the mass, with a couple of motets thrown in as well. And the second half is Magnificat and Nunc Dimittis and various items from Compline, which is the last office of the day in the evening.
And tell me about the recording process. I mean, when did you record it and where?
This was in last May in St. George's Chapel in Chesterton, which is a very frequently used recording venue. In fact, I think they now have the services in a nearby building, and the church itself is now dedicated solely to recording, just because it's in such frequent use. It's a wonderful place to record. I mean, I can understand why so many people want to use it. It's got a very, very warm acoustic, very clear acoustic, and it's away from any main streets, so it's a great place to record. There was a little bit of trouble when we did our first CD there, because there's a primary school that is right next door, so we managed to keep them inside during playtime. But then someone on the other side of the church started to relay his patio, so we managed to work our way around that as well. And actually, in this recording, because it sounds dreadful, but in this recording we had a thunderstorm to put up with. If you listen to the Magnificat, you may get the odd little rumble of thunder in the background that we didn't quite manage to edit out.
But
on the whole, it's been a lovely experience.
It's so funny you say that, because actually we did a recording at St. George's in October, and the primary school hadn't got the note about us recording. And so just as we were in the middle of a really good take, they all dashed outside and were running around screaming.
Well, it was funny.
Hollingworth was doing one of his major projects there with, 20, 30, 40 high-flying professionals. And they had one day to record this section of the CD. And the wind was terrible, and they couldn't record anything. They just stood there looking at everyone, thinking, there goes all this money. I'm not going to get anything out of this at all. And so it's potluck.
Yeah, I want to join in with the fun of talking about ruined recordings, because I was lucky enough to be in a choir recording in the Lady Chapel at Ely, which is a wonderful place to record. But all the boy racers seem to come out.
Oh, no. It's right next to the road as well.
Yeah, for their drive round Ely. It didn't ruin the whole recording, but it was quite funny. So, yeah, the pitfalls of classical recordings. But Ali, you've listened to this CD. You've been reviewing it on Radio 3, no less. So give us an overview. Give us an insight.
I think, as I was saying earlier, it is just music that suits this choir down to the ground. And not only have you got the choir, but you've got a little bit of instrumental support in the bass register that comes through every now and then. It's extremely well recorded, and it obviously extremely well put together as well. And I think the piece we're going to hear now is the Te Lucis Antiterminum. And what I love about this is that you hear that amazing sound of men's voices singing unison chant, which I just think is one of the most special sounds you could possibly imagine.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Mark, for coming and joining us for a bit of classical Cambridgeshire Light. I've nicked Anna's chair, but at least we managed to make all the wires and paper cups and pieces of string work so that we could connect us all together, spread out across the county. Good luck with the CD and all your future endeavours, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mark Dorish there, the artistic director of De Profundis, the male voice choir, who've just brought out this new CD of Esquivel's music. We heard the Agnus Dei before the interview, now the Te Lucis Antiterminum.
Oh.
Well, I'm so glad I know who Esquivel is now, Anna Lapwood.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, that was wonderful. A CD that people can go out and buy. So it's out now, so people can go and purchase De Profundis's, it's hard to say.
It is.
New CD. Do they just need to look for Esquivel? Is there any sort of title?
Yeah, so it's released on Hyperion. And I do just want to say that I think the thing that's amazing about Mark, and he's very modest, but the fact that he has set up this group and is working full-time as a GP, and yet the group is still releasing records that are sort of receiving these incredible reviews and international acclaim, I think that is just pretty spectacular, if you ask me.